Hello and welcome to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of Yukon Huskies. I'm John Stillman. Right now, alongside Eric Hogarth, we'll hear from Heather and Jake later on in the show with special conversations with them. But first, Eric, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti. I'm going to talk today, first of all, about some 401k considerations that you should ponder before diving headlong into that plan at your new job, or maybe you should consider some changes you should make with your current plan at your current job. So for a lot of people, you know, the 401k is easy, Eric. It's painless because you never brought that money home in the first place. It just came out of your paycheck. You never got used to having the money. So it becomes a painless way to save for retirement. But because of that, you know, sometimes people ignore it a little more than they should. So a few things you should be considering. One of those would be your need for liquid assets. Now, how might that play into the conversation in terms of how much you should be putting into your 401k?
Hello, John. Well, you need balance. You know, a 401k is a great tool for long-term retirement savings. Why does a 401k work? Well, like you said, because you're not thinking about it. You're not trying to time the market. Every time you get paid, you buy, you buy, you buy. And it just keeps going in. Sometimes you buy low, sometimes you buy high, but you're always buying, buying, buying. And the more years you do that for, because how long are you saving into your 401k? 10, 20, 30, 40 years maybe? You know, it's probably going to work because the market's probably going to go up over that period of time. You know, I can't see the future. Is the market going to go up this year? I don't know. Next year, who knows? Is it going to go up over the next 40? Probably. Right? But you need balance. So getting to the question of liquid assets, if you put all your money in your 401k and you decide, well, I want to retire at 55, you're not taking that money. You know, so you need money for today and you need money for later. So when we talk about planning, it's having that balance, not just how much money you've saved, but are you being smart about where you're taking it from and where you're going to want to take it from in the future?
Another thing you should consider is your employer contributions. Now you say, well, what my employer is putting in have to do with what I'm putting in? But what do we need to think about there?
Yeah, so there's all these different contribution amounts when it comes to a 401k. If you're getting a match, right, very few 401ks are going to match all of what you put in. It's usually, well, we'll match dollar for dollar up to the first 3% or 50 cents on the dollar up to 6% or whatever it's going to be. So step number one is if you do have a match and you're not putting money into your 401k, that is free money that you're not getting. Stop being a knucklehead. You know, get that money in there, get that match. Beyond that match, okay, there's pros and cons of any of it. Well, I'm getting this great tax deduction, putting money in, assuming you're going pre-tax, you can save a lot of money into it. You might not even qualify to make a Roth contribution or an IRA contribution outside of your 401k, and you might still qualify to make both those contributions within it. So you got to know that. But if your employer is not matching your contributions and you qualify to save money into another vehicle, that might be better for you because a 401k, even the best ones, are still restricted in regards to what you can invest that money into. Whereas another retirement account like a SEP or an IRA or Roth IRA have far fewer restrictions on them. So something to think about. Know what that match is to make sure that you're taking full advantage of it.
And then interestingly, there are some cases where the employer puts money in regardless of what you do, right? So that would be the same as if they didn't match in terms of what you should do with your own money.
Yeah. I mean, as a company, Johnson Brunetti, I mean, we had a 401k structured, and it's not poking fun. Maybe, you know, you just got to, you know, educate yourself with your plan wherever you are employed, because we had a 401k that would match, that make a contribution even if you didn't put money in, and we still would have some people that wouldn't open it up. You don't even have to put money in it. So it's make sure you know how your plan works, because it might not be a big deal to you now, but it will in the future.
If they don't open the 401k that they don't have to contribute to and they miss out on that free money, it's maybe a sign that they're not cut out for this long term.
Yeah, if you put your hand out, I'll put money in it. So just put your hand out. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yep. Another consideration would be future tax implications. Obviously, the money you put into the 401k now reduces your taxable income now. But
yeah,
we need to think about long term.
Yeah, and I kind of referenced this before, is that, you know, okay, Eric, I've got $1 million. Is that enough to retire? You know, and there is no magic number, right? For some people, that's more than they ever need. For some people, that's nowhere near enough. Everyone's situation is different. That's why, you know, getting good advice on this stuff is important. But it's not just how much you saved. Well, what are the tax ramifications of that money, right? That old adage, not what you make, it's what you keep. Well, $1 million in a Roth IRA is $1 million after taxes. $1 million in an IRA, in a pre-tax 401k, is far less after taxes. So how much of that money are you going to keep? And are you being smart about where you're going to take it from when you draw that money out?
Yeah, makes sense. All right, last thing to consider here is orphaned money. What is orphaned money, Eric, when it comes to a 401k?
You leave an employer and you leave your old 401k there. This almost never is the best thing to do. It's different for everyone. So I've got to say it almost never, but it almost never makes sense to do this because, okay, well, you're not getting a match anymore. You're not contributing money to it anymore. So now it's just like a ship out in the ocean. It's just bobbing up and down to the waves, and it has a good day and it has a bad day and a good day. But you're not getting employer contributions. You're not saving money into it. And that money would probably help you a lot better utilized as a more active part of your plan. So you could roll that money out of that 401k into another vehicle and maybe have it work a lot harder for you. It's definitely worth taking a look at.
Well, I think for a lot of people, they have questions about all this stuff and they're not sure how they should be proceeding with their own financial plan, because as you've just said, the answers are going to be different for different people, depending on your situation. So Money Map Retirement Review, great way to get a better understanding of what's going to make the most sense for you personally.
Yeah. I mean, give us a call. Number's 1-800-705-1232. I mean, we work in retirement planning, which means all day, every day, we're talking about 401ks, saving into them, drawing money out of them, rolling them over. Maybe this makes sense to keep it. But that is a very big part of the conversation when we're talking about retirement planning. So you can give us a buzz. Again, that number's 1-800-705-1232. You'll leave a message. We'll call you back. We'll schedule that time and try and do it soon. Because, you know, then there's changes, there's opportunity, things become available, things become unavailable. So, you know, there's no time like now to take a look at this stuff, particularly if you have one of those old 401ks that's just sitting there.
The number to call, 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. You can actually text that number, too, if that's easier for you. Just include your first and last name. That'll get the process started. Somebody will reach back out to you and find a time to schedule your completely complimentary Money Map Retirement Review. 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Up next, let's go to Jake Dozer. Is it fake, Jake?
Let's separate fact from fiction. It's time for Is It Fake, Jake?
Jake Dozer is here, financial advisor at Johnson Brunetti. The game is it fake, Jake? We give Jake the headline. He tells us if it's fake news or not. Here's the headline, Jake. Why the U.S. economy is too good to be true. Now, maybe we would have to read the article to know if that's fake or not. But is the U.S. economy too good to be true, Jake?
So you might be surprised by the answer on this one, John, but my answer is going to be yes. Now, here's what I mean. Before you think that I'm not a patriot, I love my country.
Explain yourself, sir.
So what I mean by that is this, is that if you have all your eggs in the basket of the U.S. economy, then yes, it could be too good to be true for you. Here's what I mean. Oftentimes I see someone come in and they have a statement and they say, hey, you know, I believe in indexing. I believe in just putting it in the market and letting it ride. And I see that they have a portfolio and it's all in, you know, the U.S. economy. Maybe it's all in a large cap fund. Oftentimes, you know, that's called an S&P 500 index fund. And they say, you know, I don't believe in having any advisors helping me. I just believe in putting it in the economy and letting it ride. And I like that sentiment. I like the idea that the market is efficient, the market works. Now, of course, we know that what is important to control in that environment is your relationship with the market, how much of your market is in, how much of your money is in the market, how much of your money is at risk, what level of risk is it taking, things of that nature. But to liken it to this article, the challenge there is what is called concentration risk. all of your money is concentrated in the U.S. economy alone. And that could be dangerous. You know, if you look at the performance of international funds and exposure to international economies, the world is, over time, becoming more and more of a global thing. Look at our news stations. You know, growing up, even I saw that you turn on the news and 80% of it was local news. And maybe you had a headline or two from global. And now you turn it on and local news is kind of a thing of the past. Oftentimes those stories are just little feel-good stories, and a majority of the time is spent looking at what the world is doing global. That's true economically as well. As more and more countries become first world countries and develop over time, which is good for the people of those lands, the reality is that more and more of our portfolio might need exposure outside of the U.S. economy alone. Concentration risk, which is having all your money in one stock, having all your money in one sector of the economy, having all your money in one size of company in the economy, large, small, mid-cap, whatever that concentration looks like, is unhealthy. And having a healthy balance to be able to diversify, to be able to spread your risk out, that's sort of the name of the game as it comes to doing that long-term investing for one's retirement.
When people come in to see you for the first time, how often are you seeing that they don't have the proper balance? Either they're too heavily weighted domestically, or maybe they have too much global exposure.
I'll be honest with you, almost every time. Almost every time, especially after the past 10 years. Think about the Great Recession and of 2008, and then all of a sudden, you know, until the end of 2020, other than maybe a couple months here and there, the economy and people's portfolios just shot straight through the roof. And so that created two things. It created, more often than not, people that were comfortable with more risk than they should be because they've been lulled into this false sense of comfort that says, well, the economy always goes up every day. And the reality is, while the past 10 years before 2022 kind of looked like that, that's not always the case. The second thing is the flip side, which doesn't happen as often, but people get almost overtly afraid. Well, the economy's gone up, it's going to crash, you know, and almost get this sort of conspiracy theory level fear. Well, I just need to go to all cash. I think of a conversation I had with somebody in the past 6 months, and they had moved their money all to cash, or, you know, maybe mid-2022. The economy's going down, and they said, this is my point. I can't take it anymore. And they sell all their money into a stable value fund or into a money market account. And the reality is that either danger, either concentration, too much of one company or too much stock market for you, or too little where you're all in cash and you're not growing, either are dangerous. Because too much risk could produce a year in retirement where your portfolio is down 25% and now you need to withdraw in order to pay the bills. That's dangerous. But too much safety could produce not enough long-term growth to offset inflation and to be able to meet your needs in 10 years. You know, a lot of times people retire, you know, maybe mid-60s, and they don't realize that they need to plan for being around for the next 20 or 30 years. And so it doesn't mean that all growth is the focus, but it also means that not all safety is the focus either. There's a healthy balance that needs to be reached for each and every person.
As we say so often, that balance is crucial. Don't get too overweighted in one investment, in one economy, in one particular approach. You almost always need to have a little bit of everything. And the team at Johnson Brunetti can help you figure out how to do that. Jake Dozer, thank you very much. You're listening to Money Wisdom.
It's time for a woman's word.
Yes, indeed, we do now turn to Heather Atkins, certified financial planner at Johnson Brunetti. And today we have a multi-pronged conversation. We're talking about three common mistakes that women make when it comes to their retirement planning. I'll preview those three mistakes for you, and then we'll go back and hit them each individually. So one is not participating in the planning process. Number two is life expectancy. Just women live longer. That's an objective fact. And then third is taking too little or too much risk. In other words, not having the proper amount of risk in their investment. So Heather, let's rewind and take those one at a time. Not participating in the planning process. That's a mistake that women sometimes make. How have you seen that unfold before?
It's never good. If we're not participating in the process, then we're just going to be blindsided later. And I don't think anyone has ever benefited from just walking away from, you know, a potential issue. And that issue is just going to continue to build and build and build. So we certainly want to address it head on. And that's sometimes women especially are not eager to, you know, dive into what could be uncomfortable or create conflict. But participating doesn't necessarily mean you have to be day trading investments or, you know, running the ship of your family's financial plan. Participation can be as simple as just looking at the cash flow that's coming into the house or where the expenses are going per month or per year. So the budgeting is a fantastic place to start, because that is going to come up time and time again when we talk about retirement planning, of how much money do you need to last a lifetime and do the things that you like to do. And that usually comes back to the expenses and the budget. So participation in that way can create a more confident investor, and women need more confidence. So participation in the planning process is a mistake that, or just lack thereof, participation is a mistake we sometimes make.
Just to make sure that we're not broad brushing too much, not stereotyping too much. Obviously, there are couples where the wife is the more dominant in the financial planning conversations, I would assume, right? But you know, more often than not, it goes the other way.
Absolutely. Participation of both parties is really important, and deferring that responsibility to the other half can create just massive issues later if and when they're not here. And I was actually just sitting down with somebody this week, and you know, they come to the meetings by themselves, and I'm like, this is not benefiting your spouse. You know, you both need to be here. We both need to be talking about this, even if it's not their bread and butter or what they're most comfortable with discussing. At least having a general overview and idea of what do you have, how does it work, what does it mean for the two of you.
All right, problem number two that we mentioned was life expectancy. Women live longer and therefore may need to work longer. How do those conversations go?
Yeah, so the mistake here would actually be just retiring too early, perhaps, because we, you know, the life expectancy is outside of our control. And I think for a lot of people, that's actually a great thing, you know, because the alternative is not being here. So we get to be here, we get to have that many more experiences and live longer. We do need to make those dollars stretch longer as a result. So by retiring too early or prematurely is potentially a mistake, as then, you know, we're capping out maybe on our savings potential, our Social Security income, our pension income, if you're fortunate enough to have that. So it's really important. This kind of goes back to number one of participation, you know, making sure that we're looking at an income plan, participating in those conversations to make sure we're retiring at the right time. And if we are retiring a little bit earlier, at least knowing that we have enough income to last as long as we do.
All right. Last thing we'll mention here, problem number three that we talked about before, taking too much or too little risk. Well, it seems like most people are going to fall on which end of that spectrum? I should say most women fall on which end of that spectrum, Heather, or is it equal in both?
So it's interesting, because I think historically we as women have played a more conservative approach in the way we invest, but we have seen the other end of the spectrum where we're taking on too much risk. And this is all kind of tying back to that first point as well of participation, because if we set up a plan 20 years ago when we, you know, were first thinking about, okay, planning for the future, planning ahead, and it was appropriate at the time, but now 20 years have passed and we haven't made many changes, we might be looking at a situation where we're participating in too much of the market downturn if we're too risky. So by taking on too much risk, that's just as detrimental to the plan as not taking enough. So opportunity loss versus investment loss. I think most people would rather have opportunity loss of if the market's going up if the investments in the stock market are going up, we're not participating in all of that upside. And that is, I think, preferred to if the market's going down, you're riding it down. So it's about balance. It's about having some money at risk and some money protected. And that's where a active or proactive conversation should be had to start participating in that retirement planning piece.
If any of these mistakes sound like something maybe you have been guilty of making yourself, or you could see yourself making some of these mistakes, ladies, go ahead and take charge of the situation. And as Heather just said, be proactive. Let's have that proactive conversation and make sure that you're not prone to any of these mistakes. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Stay tuned. Thank you, Heather. And we're wrapping things up now on Money Wisdom. Back again with Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti. Time to open up the mailbag. And we'll go today to Wendy, who says, when is the stock market going to crash again? All of my friends say soon. What do you think, Eric?
Soon is accurate. It depends on your definition of soon. It, talked about all day, every day.
It's a very imprecise word.
Soon. Yeah, no, and Wendy, that's fair, because who likes, you know, losing money? I don't see any hands up. But, you know, you start looking historically at this stuff, and, you know, well, the question so many people ask when the market is volatile and going down is, well, should we just take our money out and just wait for it to go down and get back in? Of course you should, if that could be done. But I firmly believe that that cannot be done. Humans can't do it. Computers can't do it. People get lucky. People very seldom continuously get lucky time and time again, because a lot of the best days in the market come right after the worst days in the market. The best years in the market come right after the worst years in the market. And it's probably not going to work out for you if you're trying to time it. You know, Joel, you know, has a story that he tells about someone who was, you know, they were doing that in their 401k and they were getting out, in and out, and in and out, and in and out. And then the person that just set it and forget it, never touched it, ended up with more money. Now, neither one of those is the ideal. You can't just never look at your stuff, but you can also look at it all day, every day, and create a lot of anxiety and frustration doing that. So the market will go down again, and in all likelihood, it will go up again. You know, if you say, well, what if it goes to zero? Well, then you're thinking about every company in our country going out of business. And I just don't see that. What you need is balance and a plan. And the market shouldn't be all of it. There's more going on than that, because, you know, keep in mind who we're talking to is people that are about to retire. They're not earning money anymore. They are not saving money anymore. And what they have is what they're going to have for the rest of their life. And the rest of their life is different than the person sitting next to them. And it's different than the 30-year-old or the 50-year-old. You don't know how long that's going to be. And you certainly didn't save this money to spend your retirement, you know, hoping for it to come back. It's always a good time to look at this stuff and make sure that if you are comfortable taking risk, that you're being smart with the risk you're taking.
The best way to make sure that you're making the smartest decisions you can is to go through that MoneyMap retirement review process. Eric, give us the short answer on what happens when you come through that process and what we need to do to make it happen.
Come in and talk to us and get the answers that are pertain to you. You know, stuff is tough because there's so much advice out there, and there's so much that you can read and Google and talk to a friend, and then, well, this is what I did, so this is what you should do. Well, no, not really, because it's so unique and it's so different. And then there's the unspoken things that you're not going to talk to your friends about. Come talk to us. It's confidential, and we'll talk about this is the situation that you are in, and this is what makes the most sense for you. And also keep in mind that whatever plan you set up, you also have to account that things could change in the future, and you've got to be able to change too. You know, you don't want to find out because of how I set this up now, 5 years later, looking back, well, I can't do what I wanted to do. So come in and have a conversation. Give us a call. It's 1-800-705-1232, and you schedule a visit. And I really think it'll put your mind at ease, because even if you are not in a great financial position, you're still in a better position knowing that than you were before you knew it. At least now you can set up a plan and know what you need to do to put yourself in a great one. 1-800-705-1232. Give us a call.
800-705-1232. You come in, you go through the MoneyMap retirement review process, you'll leave with a copy of one of the books from the Johnson Brunetti Library, that you can pick the one that you think will help you the most, the one that fits your situation the best. But for now, just call or text, let us know you'd like to go through that process. Somebody from the team will reach out to you and get the process started for you. 800-705-1232. You can call or text 800-705-1232.
1232. Thanks so much for tuning in to Money Wisdom. Thanks to Jake Dozer, Heather Atkins, and Eric Hogarth. And we'll talk to you next week, right here, same time, same place, on Money Wisdom.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the UConn Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.